The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to the Mission Minded. Keep your mind and your mission and your mind. He's Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Felix. Let me see that smile. Put that smile on that face. There you go. He's my buddy. He's my pal. We talk all kinds of great business. We also have a show called Bite by Bite, which is coming up right after this here on a network of Tony Curry radio stations. Make sure you listen to those. And of course, the numbers are always a little bit better for the second show. So I guess people are liking the first one. Moving on, you can find us on all your social media platforms, LinkedIn, you name it. We're on there. We'll get after it. Got a friend of mine who can't seem to turn his personal life off when he goes into the office. And I've gotten several emails about this. You know, there's some people, and I remember someone I used to work with, and people are like, hey, man, stay away from Jules today, man. She's in a bad mood. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, she's in a bad mood. You don't want to mess with Jules. And I was like, so the word would get up and down the hallway before she'd even come in the hall in her office that you didn't want to mess with this person today because she was having a bad day. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is a place of refuge for a lot of people. This is a lot of people get away from their personal life. Some people really love their work. And the last place they want to deal with any type of chaos or drama is at work. That's their escape. Now, I know a lot of people think it the opposite way around. I have always loved my job, so I've always been a happy kind of guy. And I'm always in a good mood. I'm like, we're talking radio, for God's sakes. I mean, how hard is this? Right. This is fun. This is a good time. So what would you say to people who have workers that seem to wear their hearts on their sleeves everywhere they go? And how do you combat that a little bit? I mean, obviously, if you have a good friend, you're like, hey, you know what? This is a workplace. We're going to separate. How do you compartmentalize, if you will, your life when it comes to that?
Well, it's a common problem. And especially, so I will just reflect personally on my leadership style and what I prefer, which is I prefer people that have the emotional maturity to be able to separate those things. Now, that doesn't mean I want you to be robotic. Like, no matter what's going on in your life, you could have had a death in the family. You could have had, you know, you lost a pet. Your child is going through something. Your marriage is struggling. You haven't financed. Look, all the normal things that happen. I don't expect people to just act like life doesn't happen, because it did. And nor do I want an environment that has a perspective of, well, it's all about the business. You're here to serve the business, and what's going on in your life doesn't matter. Because oftentimes what I found is if you spend a little time to address issues, encourage people, help them out of that funk, then they become a better. But first of all, it's the right thing to do. I'm not doing it motivated to increase productivity. Yeah. But you're reflecting care. The challenge is, and you can do that with people who have a higher level of emotional maturity. But with some people, you have to draw hard boundaries, even to the risk of sounding uncaring, because they don't draw boundaries with themselves. Mm-hmm. And look, we all see this. You can go on Facebook. We all have friends on Facebook, whether you refer to them as a hot mess or whatever else. But you can always tell the people with low emotional maturity because their whole life is lived out on social media.
Yep.
Thank they're you. Impressive. Yes, they're incredibly passive aggressive. You know, they'll say things like, we all have people in our lives that do this, and they just so-and-so, rather than, you know what, if it's an important issue.
Oh, man, I know.
I mean, look, you got them, I got them. We all know that. I just usually click unfollow at that point.
Yeah.
Now, I will say sometimes when you have that, it's a really good opportunity to coach somebody, and somebody does have emotional immaturity, and they come in, and like you said, they're causing a bad mood. I might call them in and say, okay, you know, you come in, your mood affects X amount of people in this organization. And so when you walk in the door, as much as possible, you're going to have to leave. There's a certain expectation of being pleasant, being kind, the culture that you want. I get sometimes maybe you don't want to laugh at things. You're not in a jovial mood. You know, I'm not asking you to, you don't have to be a source of entertainment for people. You know, you might say, hey, today I just don't have any bandwidth to listen to somebody else's problems or issues. But regardless of what's going on in your life, especially if you don't want to share something like, then you can't expect others to walk on eggshells depending on what your mood is. So you begin to then say, all right, make them aware of things where previously maybe they had not been held accountable. Maybe the people in their life have never talked to them about it. But I think as a boss, lots of times people go, you know, I wish I wasn't like this. And they don't know how to progress outside of, so, you know, lots of insurance plans. Our insurance plans offers mental health counseling, I think 12 times a year, something like that. I don't know. But also you can give them resources. You can do anything, you know, you can get them materials to read. But it's an opportunity to coach them, because if they've never had any training or any realization that this is an issue or people feel this way, then lots of times they just have continued because nobody's ever confronted them on it. So it's a real opportunity for a boss to come in and say, hey, I'm concerned about this. First of all, it's not acceptable. You have to change. If you don't know how to change, here, let me help you. I'm going to hold your hand a little bit as we walk through these next steps. I remember one off the top of my head that I confronted and said, you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to choose. If you choose to not confront your emotional immaturity, then the period of our professional relationship has come to an end.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you want to, if you are willing to take ownership of it and you're willing to work towards improving that, then I will almost provide you cover to give you time and understanding. Now, with this particular person, I did require them, because this person worked directly for me, I did require that person to come back and talk me through what progress they were making.
Okay.
And as a stipulation for keeping their job. And I said, look, I'm not trying to get in your business, but you can go to a therapist, and my sister's a licensed therapist, and they can give you all sorts of reading materials and coaching things and say, okay, I want you to keep a journal of when you get upset and how you respond to it. You know, what are your triggers? And then you don't go do any of that. And then you're like, well, I'm in therapy. No. It's just like with addiction. And you know this.
Yep.
There are all sorts of people who are sober in the fact that they're not drinking or using drugs, but that doesn't mean they're in recovery.
It's called sobriety.
Yes, right.
And a lot of people would say it's worse than being a drunk or an alcoholic or an illicit drug user. You're better off having your addiction than actually being sober, because you're not recovery. That's the worst place to be.
Yeah, because you're not dealing with, and it's no different if somebody is not willing to take. So if I'm in addiction, and of course, you know, I was in places where I've dealt with a lot of people in addiction. I'm certainly no expert, but I grew up in a household with a stepfather who was an alcoholic. So I've been affected by addiction. And the reality is that the addiction is never the issue. It's always, why are you turning to these things? What's unresolved in your life that you can't handle, that you're trying to use alcohol or drugs as a coping mechanism so you don't have to face it?
Oh.
Because if you could deal with those core issues to where you didn't have to use alcohol as a crutch, then and so look, take away the addiction. Everybody has trauma and issues in their life. And the fact is, some are either not willing to face it, or they don't have a support system that can provide them, wrap their arms around them as they go through a very vulnerable time. So I get most bosses are not going to, I mean, I'm in the nonprofit space. Our work at the food bank is built around the idea of compassion. I've spent a lot of time in this space, but I genuinely care about employees. I get there's bosses out there. It's not that they don't care, but they move in such rapid pace that they can't invest a lot of time into one employee like that. So I get that my solution is not very, but that's why I say this in a perfect reality. The key is if you want somebody to change, you demand change. It has to be professionally based. You then have to equip them with the resources to make the change. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have more success if you're invested in them, you're checking up on them, you're holding them accountable. But you can peel it all back. Anything in life, it all depends on this. Do you have the want to? Because I don't care what, where you are in life or what you're doing. If you don't want sobriety, if you don't want emotional maturity, if you're not willing to go through that struggle, good, bad, or indifferent, no, there's no magic words to get people there.
Fortunately, you see a lot of people that have to hit rock bottom to do that. And, I certainly get that. You know, it's interesting too. And you, for the most part, and you're such a great guy, because I mean, you'd be such a wonderful person to work for because you understand that. And a lot of it has to do with your nonprofit background, and you've dealt with a lot of people that have had resentments and issues with their lives and you've dealt with it. For the most part, I think when someone unloads on you at work, and maybe they're nice enough to say, listen, can I vent? Can I please just vent? You go out to lunch, you're like, holy crap. You're like, wow, what just happened?
Yeah.
That's not a problem. Because we all That's have right. issues. But what are you going to do about it? Nothing That's drives right. me crazier when and I see this in AA meetings. I see this in therapy all the time. When you're going in and you have an issue and you're like, okay, here's the issue and here's how we're going to tackle this. And 3 years down the road, you're still complaining about the same damn thing. I can't help you.
I can't.
And usually it has to do with another individual. Sometimes it may have something, maybe it's a mother-in-law or something that you can't control. Then you need to set up boundaries and you need to separate yourselves. But I mean, I'm all about listening and helping you out. But if you're going to come in every single week with the same damn problem, then I can't help you.
And I know you've heard this. We've all heard this right here. Look, this is just the way I am. Mm. And what people are telling you is,
I hate that.
I don't care if I'm not interested in going through a process to change. Is take me or leave me. And people say that.
I'm wired that way. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, I'm wired that way. I'm like, no one's wired that way.
Yeah, that's right. And I tell people when somebody, I've heard that many times, I'm wired that way. And I said, no, you wired yourself that way because, so I've dealt with my ex-wife, who I'm sure doesn't listen to this show, has battled anxiety. I'm sure we have a lot of listeners that battle with anxiety. It's a very real thing. Panic disorder, anxiety attack, panic attack, all that's very, very real. But she never would take ownership of it and would never work towards, overcoming it. And she would say, this is just a condition I have. And same as people saying, well, I'm wired that way. Mm-hmm. And doctor after doctor explained, no, you developed this response to when you felt anxiety in a particular restaurant or doing a particular activity or putting yourself in a particular location. Your response to that was retreat out of it because you were trying to escape the anxiety. And so what you ended up doing was saying, I can't get on the elevator. That's just the way, or I can't do this. I'm just wired this way. No, over time we wire ourselves based on our responses to different stimuli. And so what happens is you can overcome that. Exposure therapy is to me the only real proven thing. So when she was, and I brought up the elevator, cause she was one thing she struggled with. And so it's the brain telling, I don't want to go too deep in this. I probably said this before, but the best explanation I've ever heard of anxiety was, imagine walking through a path and you seeing a bear with her cubs. you get that fight or flight response. It's a very real response to your body. That's not abnormal. But what happens is you get that fight or flight response, but the bear's not there. In other words, nothing's changed. All of a sudden, your body kicks into that fight or flight. That's what panic attack, in essence, is. And so the question is, what you got to do is your brain is functioning as it should. It's alerting you, except somehow the brain is telling you that there's a danger there when there's no danger. Well, how do you get the brain to rewire itself? Is you go into it. Don't run away from it, because if you run away with it, you are reinforcing. Yes, that's a danger area. And so each time you go there, your brain's going to kick in. So the buffalo, probably listeners have heard of this. The buffalo, I've been told, is the only animal that when a storm is coming through the prairie, turns into the storm because it recognizes that the quickest way through the storm is to go through it.
That's good.
And that's exactly what doctors tell panic attack people. When you're having an anxiety attack, if you run away, you're going to reinforce in your brain. That's wire your brain. So you can rewire your brain to say, no, that's not a danger. Said all that to say, when somebody, an employee tells you, I'm just wired that way, or that's just the way I am. No. What you're telling me is you don't want to be anything different. You're not willing to take responsibility, ownership. So therefore, as an employer, my response is, okay, well, if you can't, if you're wired this way and you have to behave this way, then I'm now forced to terminate you because your behavior is unacceptable. It's disruptive. It hurts other employees. And if you're saying you can't change, then you got to go.
You just gave me a great topic for my next AA meeting. Thank you. I want to talk about the buffalo. I love that. That's really good. It's a great little analogy there. The other thing, and then we'll move on. But the other thing is, I think some people like to say they're wired away because it alleviates any guilt. Well, that's the way I am. Yeah. That's just the way I am. And a lot of people like that. They're like, he's always told the truth. He always be brutally honest, blah, blah, blah. He's just that. That's the way he is. And I think some people like that. It's an ego thing, you know, because that's the way I am. And that way they don't have to explain to you why they're such an asshole. And you're like, you know what? Right.
It alleviates accountability. And let me just say this. I'm going to say a couple things just real quick and that are popping in my head. And I hope, this does not sound misogynistic, but here I go.
I hope it does, just to stir the pot a little bit. Go ahead.
I don't mean it this way. So one of the great movies, I think it's the movie As Good As It Gets. I know it's got Helen Hunt and it's got Jack Nicholson.
That's it.
He's an author. Yep. And do you remember the great line? The lady comes up to him on the elevator and she's just swooning. She goes, you're just so great. How do you write about women so well? And he goes, well, I think of a man and I remove all reason and accountability. So it's a funny line. But if you think about it, I see this all the time where women bow up in men's faces. And even hit men sometimes. And I've heard guys say, you know what? Guys can't do that to other guys because they know they're going to get punched in the face. Mm-hmm. A woman can do that to a man because she believes that the culture says it's wrong to hit a woman. And most of us agree with that. So there's a woman who jumps in your face and screams and oftentimes will slap or hit or whatever and go off. Does so because there's no accountability. Yep. So she has no reason to change her behavior. If a woman, though, believed, let's say that rule wasn't there, and I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but if she thought, she would think long and hard if she thought, if I'm going to jump up in that dude's face or certainly put my hands on, but he's going to punch me in the nose, I bet you some of that behavior would be very different.
Yeah, you're probably right. Does Dale Carnegie still exist? For some reason, it's so funny. And you're laughing, so I know it probably does. I had a friend of mine. She was a sweetheart. I used to go out with her. I worked with her, and she just did not know how to deal with people. We were down at the hotel downtown. What the hell was it? The Hyatt, or I don't know what it was. Anyway, there's a bar down there, and the king of this country was in town. And he had booked the entire 15th floor of this hotel. And I was spinning records down there. I was doing a side job. And I was told, hey, this King Farouk something or other, blah, 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 is going to be down here. And it was like coming to America. All right. This dude had gold toothbrushes, the whole nine yards, his own money. And if you can, you know, he likes this type of music, do your thing, but just be cognizant that he's in the building. And he may be coming down here with 50 or 60 different people. Well, this gal that was working with was one of our promotions director. And we had a set of tables that was by the booth that we held on to every Wednesday night when I was down there. And that's the tables that this king wanted.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, he can't have them because these are our tables. And I was like, Elaine, I said, it's okay. You know, this king of his, I don't give a shit if he's the king of so-and-so, then he can go find, there's plenty of other tables around here just for sake of saying no, knowing that it was no big, but she wanted to make sure that no, these are our tables. We have our tables every single week. And I'm sitting there going, you're causing a major ruckus. And she probably, and so they asked her to take a Dale Carnegie class. It was like, take Dale Carnegie or you're fired.
Yeah,
basically. And I didn't even know. I know what Dale Carnegie is. I didn't know if it still does it still exist.
There are several variations of same type of thing, but just how to get along, how to be a great salesperson, but how to present yourself well, and how to connect to people and relationships. It's all there.
You know, we should all just be happy that we have somebody that we work with. We all want to be liked. And if we all know who you are, if you have that open door policy, if you have one of those offices where everyone just likes to congregate, you're either good at one of two things. First of all, you're really good at gossiping or people like you. And we always had a couple of offices where people could always go stop down there and we'd have a good laugh and we'd tease each other and we'd rock each other off. And then where you knew there were some offices where, quite frankly, we just stayed away from because it was like, it was like the scary house on the block on Halloween night. You don't want to go to that house. Do not stay away from that place. It's bad because she's having a bad day. And I could always remember thinking to myself, bad day. I mean, and for God's sakes, you know, the other thing is, you know, when we got on the air, and I've told people about this, and I know the podcast era has changed this out because everyone's got to tell everyone how they feel. This is the Facebook thing. I got to tell everyone how I'm feeling. No, you don't. When people tune into my radio show, they're getting away from their feelings. They want to rock. They want to have some fun. They want to have some laughter. They sure as hell don't want to hear about, everyone's tired. I'm tired. Everyone's tired. Go to bed. Stop staying up so damn late. Stop drinking energy drinks at 2 o'clock in the morning. Get off your Lunesta or whatever. Start eating right and get some sleep. We're all tired. So I don't want to hear it. You know, it's we're all tired. We're all hot. So I don't want to hear about it. Move on. You know, do the best you possibly can. You can be that bright spot in someone's life where, listen, I mean, it is what it is. I can't control it. And so I'm going to make the best I can of it.
Yeah, accountability. And that's in essence what we're talking about is bringing accountability to employees. And it could be a fellow employee, you know, like a peer.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the right person to do it. We tend to shy away from that. That's why passive aggressiveness is so prominent in our society, because we're hell bent on dealing with it or addressing it. But how we address it could not be more ineffective because we feel uncomfortable going to somebody and in a calm way, just talking to them about those issues. Because we know we have flaws and a lot of people, you try to bring some accountability in some area. They go, what about you? You did this. And then people say, I'm just going to avoid it. But they don't just choke it down. They bring it out through, like I said, different means. Either they're whispering about somebody at the in the break room, or they're posting something on social media.
Get over yourself.
So good boss. I think good bosses protect the culture. Don't allow that to happen, and don't allow somebody to infect negatively affect a culture.
Hashtag
infect OrFit. Yeah.
Hashtag HAFB. Of course, that's Heart of the Alabama Food Bank. Do wonderful jobs. We do Mission Mine, of course. Well, let's take your ideas for possible show ideas. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Of course, we also take your emails as well. Coming up here next on the same network of radio stations on Tony Curry Radio, it is Bite by Bite right here, a show exclusive to Feeding America and the Heart of Alabama Food Bank with Michael Coleman. It's up next right here on TKR.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.